Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Here we go to our last half an hour segment. And with great pleasure, I'm joining and encouraging you to call in at 751-1041 or toll free 877-544-2580. We also have our internet up at changeatthelarsongroup.com. With that, I'd like to welcome Judy Rosemarin from Sensible Strategies in New York City. Welcome, Judy.
Why, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
That's great. I bet you don't have 90 degrees in New York today.
No, I was just listening to your weather forecast, and I said, wait a minute, I'm listening to Tucson. I'm not listening to New York here, but it's a beautiful spring day, just wispy clouds and a little bit of wind, and it's really very lovely.
Well, great. Really good to have you. Well, let me offer a brief introduction. Judy leads Sensible Strategies, a 27-year coaching and training firm that helps leaders refine their executive presence, leadership confidence, and competence. Her clients include large, diverse organizations in the financial sector, airlines, media publications, and insurance. Judy's philosophy is based on a deep belief that people have most of the resources they need, with her job then being to help them rediscover and reclaim them through safe learning and skills practice. Also an actress and a director in New York's community theater, Judy is a firm believer in the power of storytelling. As the original New York Post's Career Plus weekly columnist, Judy has authored numerous articles on effective job search strategies for the Wall Street Journal's Career Online. In addition to her cable TV and web show media experiences with shows like Jobline, America's Talking, and CBS Early Show, she has an interviewing effectiveness blog and does webinars for ExecuNet. As many of you know, the founder of ExecuNet, Dave Optin, has been on our show several times, and this is the largest web-based organization that connects experienced job seekers and recruiters, as well as hosts regional networking meetings around the U.S. In fact, Judy has chaired that venue in New York City for how long now, Judy?
17 years.
17 years, that probably near the inception of that entire organization. Judy holds a B.S. in photography and journalism and graduate degrees in counseling and social work, and she's been on the adjunct faculty for over 15 years at several really name institutions, and today is on the board of Empowering Kids, which is a nonprofit that provides after-school tutoring, mentoring, cultural enrichment, and community service programs for students that are really motivated but in underserved communities. So you've got a full plate on your hands, don't you?
Well, I guess if you live long enough, Zara, it kind of accumulates.
Right? I like that. I love that. Well, you know, Judy, you've got such a wealth of experience in this whole field of careers and career change. Maybe you can start us out based on all those years, what you see as the key elements for a successful job search.
Well, I really do want to thank you again for sharing this time with me.
It's my pleasure.
I feel honored and pleased. The key elements for a successful job search are based on what I call internal and external orientations. The internal is who am I, knowing what my strengths are, my capabilities, my three key strengths, my value, my values, which I call brand, and also to know what the external world is. What are the trends that are happening? Where are the needs? Where are the bubbles? Where are the vacuums? And actually, a job search has to do with who I am, where do I want to go, and how do I get there? And there are actual steps that one needs to take in order to be most successful. One of the key things that people should remember in job search is that 75% of the jobs that are secured in this country, Lara, are secured through a handshake. Not by sitting at a computer looking at postings, et cetera. So networking and connecting with people and having relationships with people is one of the biggest driving forces.
And I would say for many people, you know, the days of finding that ad in the newspaper or on the web and sending your resume in, that is really an artifact of the past. And so it's a new experience for people who aren't natural networkers or haven't had the chance. So perhaps some of the pointers you help people step into for those who might be really shy or withdrawn on that particular front.
Well, what's interesting about it is if we take the premise that networking is indeed the way people find opportunities, and I always tell my folks who are in career transition that they're a walking breathing, living solution to somebody else's problem.
Mm, I like that.
So if you take a look at it from a standing up position as opposed to falling down position, then you're a consultant to the needs and nightmares of others.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the shyest can have conversations with people, because normally the people who I've known who tend to be more introverted are usually excellent listeners, all right? They're not pitching themselves. They're asking questions of others. They want to know what needs are out there. What if they had an ideal situation, what would it be? If they had a budget, what would they want to be working on? And also when it's networking, if you're volunteering somewhere, if you're really good with numbers and you decide to volunteer as the treasurer of your organization, you're showing your work in a natural way of networking, because you're your value by doing your work in a very comfortable and relaxed atmosphere.
I think the other thing you would probably add too, though, is that this isn't going to events that are just coined as networking events. Where it's like almost speed dating, where people are pushing their business cards, but rather look for those opportunities where you can build relationship with people.
Yes. There's a wonderful story. Years ago, there was a problem on one of the bridges here in New York, either it was Triborough, or doesn't matter which one it was, or Throgsneck, and it seemed that there was a long queue in front of one of the ticket booths, and this was before Easy Pass. We have Easy Pass here in the city,
sure,
in New York.
Bet.
Yeah, and so it's the same price point at each one of these little toll booths, and they noticed, the mm-hmm. people who are bridges and tunnels, that this one lane always had lots and lots of people in front of it, and couldn't understand why. I thought something was broken, something was wrong with the machine, somebody was inept. What they discovered, Sarah, was the person in the toll booth was talking to the drivers.
Yep.
And people would go out of their way to get on that line just to be recognized, just to be talked to for a minute. So in today's world of being so high-tech and so low-touch, that relating with others is more key than ever before.
That's really, really true. You know, the other piece of it, though, is, you know, again, with unemployment being what it is and such a challenge, you've got to get really industrious and look at yourself in much broader ways you did in the past, but also kind of try to uncover where that hidden job market is.
Well, I love that phrase. I've been in this field a long time, and as far as I'm concerned, I don't think there is a hidden job market.
No,
you just have to show up. And what I mean by that is if you and I had a firm, and you and I were working together, and we were looking for the chief marketing officer in the firm, because our chief marketing officer was going to move to Canada, you and I would not be taking an ad out. You and I would not
Absolutely.
Be hiring a headhunter.
Mm-hmm.
You and I would look at each other and say, Zara, who do you know?
Who do you know? Exactly.
And we'll give each other a week to figure this out, and then we'll come back with some names. That's the hidden job market. That's going on all the time, because companies are internally networking all the time. And what happens is when you see an ad, basically what that's saying is the internal networking system of that corporation has broken down. It's not hidden at all. It's happening. I call that the corporate biological clock. Okay? It's always changing and it's always ticking.
Yep, that's very well put. And in fact, even if they do that external publication posting, let's say they have company policies or they're a government contractor and they're required to, at the end of the day, though, what's going to get those key resumes pulled out of the stack of 100 is going to be perhaps someone knowing how to foster in and say, find that resume. That's the one you want to look at.
Absolutely. And that resume, although resumes don't get people jobs, people get people jobs.
I agree.
The resume certainly has to be a way that grabs somebody's attention. And I call it a bunch of eyes. It should be intrigue and interview to invite you in for an interview.
And I think there's another place of it, too, for those of us like you and I both coach so heavily and people who are in transition, that it isn't the document per se where the real value is many times. It's our leading our clients through creating that document that can also shift them in a totally different way to come to being able to communicate, as you started with, the brand, the value proposition.
Absolutely. And it was funny. I worked with somebody many, many years ago who really had a big problem writing her resume because she was taught never to brag.
Right. A common problem.
She sat there, and really I think there were beads of sweat on her brow, you know, as if kind of lightning was going to strike her dead. And once we started talking about how what she wasn't doing was she wasn't bragging, she was sharing,
mm-hmm.
okay, her brand, which I consider to be a combination of one's values and one's value to others. okay, through time. That, to me, is what a personal brand is. And once she got past the idea that she wasn't bragging, it was okay. But a lot of people have difficulty doing that. I mean, you know that as well as I.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Your statement again with the eyes, could you share that with us again? Intrigue?
Yeah, you want to intrigue the interviewer to invite you in for an interview.
Right. And then the next step, of course, you get the invitation in, is how do you coach and position people so they go in there with their full power and they don't feel like they're auditioning, but rather that they're telling their stories, I believe, right?
Yes. That's the exciting part of what we're doing now, because for years you had mentioned that I was hosting these fabulous face-to-face networking meetings through partnering through ExecuNet in the city. And for years, the folks who would come into these very structured meetings where people would kind of do their elevator pitch, I must confess, became rather tiresome to those listening. And I noticed that people would kind of glaze over after the fourth elevator pitch. And all these networking meetings are like this. I mean, people just do it, you know, and as you say, speed dating. So I introduced the notion that people were not going to do their elevator pitches anymore, but rather to tell stories. And the first time I introduced this, which was last year ago, November, and most of the executives in there kind of looked at me askance and said, now what's she up to, and now what am I supposed to do?
Exactly,
you know, I rehearsed
this
like crazy. And lo and behold, what happened is people began to tell, and I'll give you an example, began to tell their stories, and what happened was it's back to the point we were talking about relating to people.
Yeah.
Once people started telling their stories, the men and women in those rooms connected to one another like they had never done before. And I had been doing this now for a very long time. And all of a sudden, I had to kind of pull people out of the room at the end of the meeting because they were really connecting. And for example, I had one gentleman in the room who told this story about how when he was 12 years old, he got his first newspaper route in Chicago. And he was very excited, and he had this little bag, and he put the newspapers in, rolled them all up, and went out very, you know, kind of peppery and excited. And he threw his first paper on his neighbor's front porch. And the neighbor came barreling out, kind of screaming at him. And he said, and he said to me, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm the new paper boy." And he said, "Well," he said, "I don't want you to throw it on my porch too early because I work late at night. And anyway, this weather is terrible, so make sure that it's in a plastic bag or a paper bag or whatever. And anyway, what's going to make you different from any other paper boy that I've had?" And I said, "I'm going to give you the best customer service you've ever had."
Bless his heart.
And I paused, and he paused, and he said, "And I have been doing that in corporate America for 25 years.
There you go.
Now, that's a story. It's not a long one, but it's connected to his brand, and people got it, and they felt like there was a human being talking there instead of a suit or a title or just a tie, and it was magical, and the whole room is filled with stories like that each month we do it.
And, you know, people who really are good interviewers, that they're going to ask questions that allow, you know, it's the popular term, of course, is behavior-based interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it right, what you're really trying to do is allow space for the stories so that you can then read what's between the lines.
Well, what's interesting is there are all kinds of cues for your stories. And people have asked me, well, so when do you tell a story and how do I do it? And, of course, that's what I teach. Mm-hmm. But the prompts are always there. It can be from the simple thing of tell me about yourself, which is, as you know, they say, the world's most dreaded question.
Exactly,
to me,
yeah.
It's the most marvelous question in the world because the respondent has full control over it, right?
But people choose. But people get locked down to say, now, does he want a 30-second answer or a 3-minute answer?
Yeah,
should I talk about work or my personal life? Right.
Right. So what I have my transition folks do is think about their three top skills, all right? And I call those skills the anchor skills. So, you know, kind of when you're on the water, I know Arizona doesn't have a lot of that sometimes. But
that's right.
Yeah, some does. When you're on the water and you're anchored somewhere, the boat moves a little bit with the wind and the waves and the weather, but it doesn't lose its place entirely, right? So those three skills are like an anchor. And then what I do is I teach people to, or help people reconnect to stories that are connected to those anchors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter what question is asked of an interviewee, they always have a way to get back home to that anchored ship. So if your three top skills are creativity, problem solving, and the go-to person, that's the message that you want to get across in every single interview with various stories that support those claims.
As opposed to saying, I'm a go-to guy, and waiting
exactly.
for them to say, well, give me an example, you instead launch right into the story of the time that there was this IT fiasco and suddenly you found yourself bringing cookies in, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Exactly. And there are elements to storytelling that make it even richer. The obvious ones are, who's the hero, what's the conflict, what's the resolution, which is, by the way, not dissimilar on a resume to that PAR notion, you know, what's the problem, what's the action, the result.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in storytelling, it becomes alive, and the human brain kind of remembers things in images. So if you can get somebody into your movie of that moment, all right, that movie of the moment or the movie of the mind, then you are going to be remembered. I'll tell you a story about a time when I was in the HR director's office at J.P. Morgan many years ago for a possible coaching assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And when we ended the meeting, this woman asked me, Judy, when you shut the door behind you, what do you want me to be thinking about you? And I was dumbfounded, believe it or not. I didn't know what to say. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't change people, but I add tools to their toolbox because, you know, if you only have a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
Mm-hmm.
That night I had gone to see the musical Rent on Broadway. And as I left my seat, I headed out to the sidewalk to hail a yellow cab. And I found myself humming a tune from the show. And I said, oh, my goodness. That HR director was asking me for my hum away.
My hum away. Okay? I like that.
What's my hum away? What is it that you're going to leave in the listener's mind, whether it's a customer, whether it's your team? I mean, I do executive coaching. If you're going to lead a team, if you're going to inspire a team, what's the hum away that you want those folks to have where there's a picture in their mind and an impression that's unique to you? Because what I discovered is nobody has your story. You own the copyright to it. So why not go find it and then find the intention, the purpose that you want to use it for. And then, you know, when people tell their stories, I find they light up.
Oh, I was going to just say, this is the point, is that, you know, how many people are so stressed out when they go into interviews, but if and for good reason,
yeah.
There's a lot on the line. But likewise, you know, the interviewers might be worn out, and you're the 15th candidate they've seen in 3 days, and it's all mush. So
not
if they
that,
can say,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Please, but so the idea that you can have somebody come in that's got the spark in their eye, the smile on their face, the lift in their step. Mm-hmm. That many times it's, as you we all know, we're communication experts, that it's at least 80% the nonverbals that stick with us as opposed to the words.
And also, a very practical thing, anybody who's listening, who's ever hired anybody, knows that when you're interviewing somebody, when you're on the other side, when you're the interviewer, you're nervous about making the right or wrong decision.
Right.
I don't care who you are, all right?
And that's constantly rumbling in your mind at the moment and can distract you from seeing things then.
Right. Well, yes, and so you as the interviewee, mm-hmm. okay, instead of being thinking you're the only nervous person in the room, your job is to pity the poor interviewer and take care of their anxiety about making the right or wrong decision. Well, what better way could you do that than not sound like anybody else? You know, people ask me, how do I distinguish myself? I said, nobody's got your stories.
That's right.
I mean, there could be five CFOs in the room right here with us, and they all have different stories because they solve things differently, they value things differently, their value is different. How wonderful. You don't really have to go very far to find what makes you special.
That's right. Well, Judy, you said something very early in our conversation, and that was is that you've been doing this now for a year and a half. So my question is, you have been in business doing this type of work of helping others in transition and clients and coaching for 26 odd years before that. How'd you flip the switch? How'd you come into this?
It came out of a tough time, actually, which is, I think, what the magic of living is all about, right? Sometimes the toughest times bring out
the best in us, the new
the
things,
best of us, yeah. It was in 2008, times were pretty rough for business, and I think I was close to burnout. Coached thousands of executives in leadership and transition coaching and team building and all this. And I love working with my clients, but the marketing of it was 100 times harder than it ever been with the recession in full bloom. And one afternoon, I sat with a colleague and decided to share my frustration. And I said that I was looking for something to energize me or be something fresh or anything to spark me up again. And she said, gee, I just heard about a storytelling workshop. And before she finished her sentence, this is a storytelling workshop in the city, a small little workshop, I said, wow, that's me.
Uh-huh.
People have told me that I'm a natural storyteller.
Okay.
And lead this to say, I took the course. And immediately, in that one-day class, which was more personal storytelling, not business, I felt that spark again. Judy came back home to herself, as it were.
I love it. Yeah.
And I suddenly realized that all of my clients, those who are trying to reinvent themselves and those who are trying to look for new jobs and those who want to inspire their teams, need to be able to tell their stories because they make connections to the soul of people. Okay? They really do. Stories do that. Remember when you were, you know, a kid and somebody read your story and said, once upon a time.
Exactly.
Right, you were there, right?
Yeah, you were there, right there.
Right. So as soon as I left the workshop, I remembered those two other times about that being my corporate coaching. But I'm pleased to say that I'm doing these wonderful public. I started putting it into certainly my individual coaching. Public workshops in the city here. And we only have, you know, 7 people, and we spend a half a day on storytelling. And people, I had one woman to the point where you brought up, Sarah, in my workshop, her eyes started to fill up, the storytelling workshop. She started to fill up, and the tears were just about cresting over the bottom of the lid, but not quite dropping.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, Judy, she says, I cannot tell you. She said, for years I struggled with that elevator pitch. I cannot tell you. And now you're saying all I have to do is tell my story? Thank you. And that meant so much to me to know that, you know, people can come home to themselves and feel good about themselves, and it isn't artifice, and it's effective.
Well, I think the other piece of, though, of your story that I want our listeners to listen to is the fact that you are at your own crossroads.
Yes.
And you were open to having somebody say something to you that sparked and brought this welling up inside of you. It's like when it was suggested to me by my husband, hey, you know, they're advertising on the radio, bring your sure idea, we'll put you on the air. What about it? And I said, well, I could do that. And I'm thinking, where does that come from? And suddenly you see all these other little doors and pops coming your way. Mm. And one of the memories that came back to me is a prior boyfriend, way before my husband, who said, you know, I really have trouble dealing with you. We go to cocktail parties, and who do you think you are? Barbara Walters interviewing everybody?
Oh.
And I remember at that time saying, and by the way, I broke up with him in about 24 hours because I said, I happen to like me as whatever that be. But, you know, I didn't revisit that memory of being said, who do you think you are, Barbara Walters, until my husband then said the same. And I said, you know, I think I am good at doing this. You know what I'm saying? It evokes this building, this circle, as we say on our show, is reconnected for just you personally. I would have to imagine as well, Judy, that your years and your avocation of being in live theater and directing, this plays right on top of that for you.
Yes, it does. And being open to the moment. I mean, certainly in theater, both acting. And actually, I'm just co-directing a play that's opening up tonight, co-directing 12 Angry Men. So
congratulations. Good time.
But I will tell you that what's fascinating about that whole process is that actors are only seen as real when they're really in the moment with one another. It has nothing to do with the script. It has to do with listening to one another and being receptive to the moment of what's going on with that other actor. And in life, if somebody says to you, oh, you're always interviewing, you like Barbara Walters, or I, colleague of mine in a course that I teach, says when I teach, a bunch of us faculty are in the same room at the same time with this course that we teach at Baruch, and he had said, oh, here goes Judy with another story. And I said, yeah, that's right.
Because right. That's exactly
Thank
who I am.
Thank you. So when we come home to ourselves, that comfort, that yes inside that's truly ours, it's where it's at. And everybody can do that, by the way. I believe everybody can do that.
Absolutely, with ease and grace as well. Well, yeah. Judy Rosemarin from SensibleStrategies.com. And by the way, folks, that's www.sens-ABLE strategies.
ABLE.
Thank you. I'm an engineer. My spelling.com.
Okay.
And check out Judy's work as well. This podcast today will be posted on my site, eventually on Judy's. So, Judy, thank you very much for inspiring us with a whole different approach about thinking about ourselves and others.
What a treat. Thanks so much,
you
Sarah.
Bet. We'll be in touch. Enjoy that New York springtime.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
I'll do. Thank you. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.